Good morning. It is coming up on 8:40 here on the Mighty 690. James Cubland with you, joined in the studio by Ron Bryce, going for District 11 here in the state of Kansas. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, thank you.
Good to have you in here. So I know we have this return to summer weather, it seems like. Hot conditions, you know, farmers and ranchers aren't happy. We need the rain, etc. But hopefully you at least enjoyed the cooler temperatures over this past weekend.
Oh, it's been great. This summer I was going door to door. It was 100 degrees plus, and I really appreciate the fall weather moving in.
Absolutely. So you won the primary. That's always good. So that means you're campaigning now for the fall. November's coming. It'll be here before we know it.
Right.
So, for maybe the folks who haven't heard you on before, can you just tell us a little bit of background about yourself, why you're running, and what got you into the situation you are in right now?
Right. I grew up in Coffeyville. The Phil Kinley class of 78, the great class of 78, is when I graduated. Like a lot of people, I moved away from the area, became a physician, practicing physician in Texas and Oklahoma, got married, had a family. And then when I started thinking about retirement several years ago, we just decided Coffeyville, the people of Coffeyville, the relationships we had developed in Coffeyville, the business opportunities in Southeast Kansas as a whole, just drew us back. And so several years ago, my wife Lydia and I moved back. Our kids and I, our family, started restoring houses in town. And because we just see such a need for housing, we got involved with the Chamber of Commerce, the Community College Board, the Midland Theater Foundation. And it was kind of a natural progression to get more involved with politics because we saw so much that we were involved with and wanted to have an influence on, and so much potential in Southeast Kansas, Montgomery County, that we just thought when the opportunity came up, Jim Kelly decided to retire, and he's served very well for many years. Many people consider him a local hero. He has big shoes to fill. But when I saw that opportunity, I thought, well, that's something I could do that could potentially help solve people's problems, help people's lives be a little bit better by influencing some of the things that go on in Topeka. So we prayed about it, asked my wife about it. You know, if my wife and God both say okay, well, I'm going to do it, you know. So we got involved, and we're very fortunate that we won the primary for Republican primary. And this November, on November 8th, I'll be facing a Democratic opponent, and Lord willing, will prevail.
Sure. And rural development is something, you know, we hear that word thrown around, but in practicality, it's tough right now with, you know, continuing population decline in Montgomery County. Have you had any thoughts on just trying to, you know, grow the county population, Coffeyville specifically, you know, Independence? What can we do to bring more people to the area?
Right. That's a multifaceted problem, and I think the two biggest pieces are recruiting businesses that employ people, but the second one is housing, and we have a housing crunch here just like a lot of places in the Midwest. And so Jim Kelly, the previous representative, did much toward the end of the session there to incentivize development of downtown buildings and restoration of older structures. That was a big step, but I think if we're going to recruit businesses and good-paying jobs, we have to have some vision for restoring some of these older houses in town, these older buildings downtown. We are, just as a family, we're on our second building downtown restoring, and we see the potential for Southeast Kansas, Montgomery County is huge, partly because we have such a rich history. A lot of places I go, you know, I've gone to Texas, different states, and some of these little towns, you ask about their history, and, you know, they may know who founded the town, but there's basically no history. Montgomery County has so many influencers and people that are notable that have come from here. I mean, I could name names, but you know, people that have changed the world. There's a presidential candidate, Wendell Willkie, who taught high school here in the 1940s. He's a Republican candidate for president and lost to Roosevelt. I used to play basketball over here at Memorial Hall, and there was one of the guys I played with named Buster, and he was kind of big and slow, and I didn't think he'd be too good of a basketball player, but about 5 years later, I turn on the TV, and he's boxing Mike Tyson, knocks him out, biggest boxing upset in history, and he became world heavyweight boxing champion. So there are dozens and dozens of these stories of notable people that have come from Montgomery County, and I was just talking with somebody yesterday, and they didn't know about the Space Monkeys. I don't know if you know, James. You know,
Independence, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was a big deal. We were racing against the Russians to put people in space, and of all places, Montgomery County, we sent the first monkeys up into space and survived and made worldwide news. So different things like that, a notable past, I think we can build on that, because Montgomery County, Coffeyville, Independence, Cherryville, Deering, Liberty, all these towns have such a great opportunity for people to move in, have family values, have people can work online now. So people, we get calls from people in the Northwest, Washington State, East Coast, New Jersey, and they want to move to the Midwest to have family values, small town atmosphere, and they can work from home through the internet. And so I think that is something that could be really tapped in the future as a growth for this region.
Sure. And I think, you know, just driving around these communities, you can tell even just by the buildings, the people who built these communities, they took community development very seriously. And as, you know, the next generation of people living here, those are big shoes to fill. And it's a big job. And just being part of the community, you can't just go home from work and turn on your TV and tune everything out. In order to build this community, we all have to pitch in. And I think that's something that people are starting to realize.
Yeah, the spirit of community and the inspiration of young people to do great things and to potentially stay in the area and build up the area, I think that is huge. And I think we are very blessed. Just one example, I've just stumbled into a group of local pastors, and they're not organized, they don't have a leader, but they get together every week, and they discuss heart-to-heart stuff about things that are going on in with their relationships, their families, and they pray for each other, they encourage each other, they don't fight each other. And of all the towns I've been in before, a lot of times the pastors are very, very defensive. But this is, I think that's just an example of the indication of the community, the unification, the spirit of this whole area that can be used as leverage for recruiting people that have common values with us.
For sure. Now, something that we have heard a lot actually this week with all the community meetings and everything is the tax burden. You know, as we have struggles with population, obviously to try to maintain the infrastructure that we have, which, you know, is sometimes outsized for the current population, that tax burden is rather high. And that's causing some folks to they are eyeing retirement, and they realize that they can go to Oklahoma and their tax burden is a lot less. What can we do to deal with this?
Right. The taxes are a number one issue for me. It's just in my DNA to have lower taxes and less restrictive government. That's just, I guess I was born to be a conservative. But one thing gubernatorial candidate Derek Schmidt has proposed is to reduce the income tax and tax burden on retirement age people, because that is a problem. You know, we're right here in Montgomery County, we're on the state line, and if people can go across the state line, buy some property, have lower taxes on their vehicles, have lower taxes on their property, then we lose population that way. And so incentivizing people, especially people on fixed income, to not have the heavy tax burden, that's one step, and I fully support Derek Schmidt's proposal for that.
Any thoughts on perhaps, say, if we were able to lower some of these property taxes, make up for that in sales taxes? Any thoughts on that?
I think lower taxes is the goal, mm-hmm. and part of that means lowering the burden of bureaucracy and state government. you know, when we reduce taxes in one area, we don't necessarily have to raise them in another area, in my point of view, just because we need to reduce the burden of the overall state government. And so I would encourage things like going ahead, and there's a sequenced grocery tax reduction over the next, I believe it's 5 or 6 years. Phase by phase, the taxes on groceries will go away. I think with the recession, with the economy the way it is, with people struggling the way they are, we need to just go ahead and get rid of the grocery tax now and not just phase it out. People need help now. And so that's one thing that I would push for also.
There's also been discussion on maybe a tax holiday, like right before school starts, because right now Kansas is kind of missing out on some of that just from the sales, because people, the local businesses, miss out on those sales because they say, oh, well, there's a tax holiday in Oklahoma. We'll just go across the border and get our school supplies.
Right. I think that's a big factor. I've talked to several people that have done that, and that would be a huge plus. And so I would be very supportive of a tax holiday for school supplies, et cetera, right before school starts. That would help real people. That would help people that have the, you know, when you have kids. I don't know if you have kids, James.
But I don't know. I have a dog, though.
Well,
I'm a dog.
Well, dogs are similar, I guess. No, we raise 4 kids, and so every year when we're starting school, you know, there's not just the school supplies, but the clothes and all the things you have to, you know, the fees and all this stuff, and it's a huge tax burden for people, you know, right before the holidays. And I think that would be a common sense thing, especially right now, because we actually do have a surplus in the state government putting money away for a rainy day. And that it's complicated on how we got that. But we do have a time right now where we can reduce these taxes and have tax holidays. And it really won't hurt any of the state services.
Are there any other big issues that you're seeing right now that you'd like to bring up?
Well, I think the number one really is economic development. High taxes, you know, help people with their pocketbook issues. But the other thing, that just going door to door campaigning over the summer, I went to about 2,000 houses in the county. And the theme, one of the themes I heard over and over and over again, were people concerned about their kids and concerned about education and concerned about the future that their kids are going to grow up in. And I share that. And so I believe a top priority is education and quality education. And part of it is, you know, teachers now are in such a, they're stressed because there are discipline problems, and they're not able to handle the discipline problems well. Some of the kids aren't motivated, so, you know, and there are many unintended consequences of legislation that's already happened where sometimes kids that are failing are just shuffled around from school to school. And we need to address that, and we need to have unemotional, rational conversations with the teachers, with the parents, with the school administrators, so that we have a common goal of helping the kids and have that as our number one vision and priority, and everything else falls behind that. So education is really, if there's anything that keeps me awake at night with this potential job, it would be education, and then the other one is economic development.
Sure. And finally, just to wrap up here, I think I have that dumpster in front of the Midland there. Can you tell us any updates on that?
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to be part of the Midland Theater Foundation board. And after years and years, probably a couple of decades of fundraising and trying and sweat and tears, we have started restoring the Midland Theater. And in my point of view, restoring the Midland Theater, having live shows there, live music events, movies, different educational events, class reunions, it's going to be an anchor for development of downtown. And I think once we get that open, which looks like this spring, we should be able to have the front of the Midland Theater open with the lobby and the concession stand and the upstairs ballroom. We'll be able to have class reunions. We'll have wedding receptions. The big auditorium itself will be further down the line, but we're working toward raising money for that. But I think when that's all lit up, I don't know, if people that have grown up here, the Midland is just special to them. You know, it's like a nostalgic thing. They had their first date there. They saw, you know, Star Wars for the first time there before the internet. And so it's a place where people can rally behind. And I think it will attract, hopefully, restaurants and
other businesses. I hear that all the time. And David says, there's nowhere to eat. There's nowhere to eat on the weekends, et cetera.
That is, you know, that is something my family goads me about all the time. But we do need a variety of restaurants, and I think this will be a key in developing the whole downtown. And I kind of see downtown development in Coffeyville, and independents too. They're doing this. They're having upstairs living spaces, studio apartments, more higher end apartments, and then downstairs commercial development, retail, things to do, kind of a destination. I'd like to see Independence, Coffeyville, Cherryville as a destination for mm-hmm. other people to come in, share the rich history, share the music, share the good food, and be that's one way to grow economically.
Well, and that's actually kind of a return to the way it used to be. You know, people mixing that residential and commercial development. Shop owners used to live above their shops,
right.
sort of thing. So I think that's cool to hopefully see some of that returning.
So much history in these buildings. I walk through there. We have a couple buildings we're restoring, and you walk through, and it's a 120-year-old building. And you look at the bricks, and you think, you know, this was built right after the Dalton Raid. You know,
yeah.
The things that have happened here, and if people love that historical aspect, I hear people who come to downtown Coffeyville and or other towns, Cherryville, Independence, and they. You know, some people say, well, we need economic development. Other people come in and say, you know, the historical aspect of these buildings, even though some of them are empty, we're drawn to it. We're drawn to the history. We're drawn to just that richness that you don't see in other areas of the country. And I think we can leverage that in Montgomery County to really be a destination for people all around this area.
Yeah, I think the bones are good. We just need to build out from there. So, Ron Bryce, if people are interested in learning more about you and what you stand for, your race and everything, where can they go to find more?
Well, we do have a website, ronbryce.com, ronbryce.com, and you can see how I stand on the issues. You can see my background as a physician, as an educator, as a business owner, and different things I've done, medical missions and different things, and kind of see where I'm coming from. And you can also request a yard sign or donate or receive email updates. So ronbryce.com.
All right. Well, Mr. Bryce, thank you so much for coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, James.
All right. You have a good one. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF 65 degrees as we head towards 9 o'clock.